Amen. Good singing tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be launching from verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. We'll kind of be picking up a little bit with some of the theme of what we had this morning, but we're going to be looking at the subject tonight of exercising godliness. Exercising godliness. We'll read verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing tonight. And as your word is open, just ask you to lead and guide. I ask you to give me the words that you'd have me to say. You know what I need. You know what your people need here today. And I ask you again to give me the words to say. I ask you to do a work in our hearts tonight as we look at not only godliness, but we look at exercising godliness. And it truly is an effort. It truly is a work of surrender, a work of faithfulness, and just being diligent to your things. And just ask you, Lord, to help us with these things tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we're going to be in one verse this evening that's spoken magnitudes to me because it speaks of prioritizing. If I were to ask how many of you exercise, the exercising that we would think of would be going to the gym, maybe walking some laps, or maybe running. But exercise is not solely limited to physical exertion. And we see here in this passage that physical exercise profiteth little. It does not say that it is of no value or of no profit, but it does say that essentially in comparison to exercising godliness, it profiteth little. I ask you this evening, do you hang your hat on things that profit little? Or are you exercising godliness, which will be profitable unto all things? Are you running around your everyday life seeking to glorify yourself and what you may want? Or are you running around your everyday life seeking to glorify God and what He wants? One will have little profit, and then one will profit all things. If you had two investments and one investment had a low payout, your money didn't grow very well, and then you had another investment, your money grew very well, and you were able to see the fruit of that investment more, which would you invest more in? You would invest in the one that had the better payout, of course. Now, if I had two jobs or three and I was going to lose one or two, I would want it to be the higher paying job because I had more reward for my investment. And in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Now, we're dealing with profits here, not losses. We're just looking at profits. Do you want to profit a little or do you want to profit it all? And in this verse, we have what profits very little in comparison to what profits all. And Scripture says profitable unto all things. So you won't even be able to measure all your profit by exercising godliness. And I encourage you tonight to exercise godliness. So what's the reason behind this verse? It's the same trend that we find throughout all the Bible. It is to remind us as Christians that we are not to place the exercising of other things as a greater importance than exercising godliness. So the main thought is a question. Tonight, are you exercising godliness? If you see someone, somewhat of a carnal idea here, but if you see someone who has big muscles, they have exercised them. If you see someone who can play an instrument well, they've exercised themselves with that instrument. Someone who is skilled in mechanics or woodworking or teaching or driving truck or computers or sales, whatever it could be, they have exercised those areas to the point that they now excel in those areas. If you see someone who is godly, they have exercised godly in their life. So what you exercise the most all comes back to who or what has control in your life. Is it God? Or is it other things? In Exodus 20, verses 3 through 5, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. So things that come between you and your relationship with Christ is idolatry. Is it getting your attention? Now, we could really hone in on some things here tonight, like maybe worry. Are you exercising worry? The more you exercise worry, the bigger worry will be. Are you exercising maybe stress? Because the more you stress and the more you exercise stress, the bigger your stress will be. Are you exercising anxiety? The same concept. If you exercise it will grow. And I speak from experience with that, with stress, worry, and anxiety, because it used to dominate my life. My last panic attack was in 2018, but I still daily battle anxiety. Every day. I don't take nothing for it. Don't want to take nothing for it. But I deal with it every day. Off and on, every day. It just comes on. But when it comes on, I cannot exercise it into being worse. Exercising these things, they bring defeat. What does defeat do? Defeat discourages you, which brings us to another thing. Are you discouraged often, whereby exercising discouragement? Discouragement will grow and grow and grow, and it's a gateway sin, because discouragement leads to other sins, like discontentment and bitterness, which leads to rebellion and hiding from God. And we all can do this. Some things happen in our day-to-day life. Sometimes that would be enough to drive most people crazy. But we cannot exercise the things that would drive us crazy, because it will drive us crazy if we exercise it. Don't exercise things in your life that aren't going well. Don't exercise everything that's bad in your life, because if you do, it will grow, grow, grow. Something makes you fearful when you hear about it. It takes your focus off of God. Then don't listen to it. Turn the TV off. Turn it off. Turn people off. And stay focused on Christ. You know, we have habits from our day-to-day life. We have appetites, some good, some bad. We have to feed the good appetites. We have to starve the bad appetites. I ask you today, what are things that may come in between you and your relationship with God? It could be things that aren't bad necessarily in and of themselves, but sometimes they just get more attention than what they should. Could be movies, could be video games, could be music, could be sports, could be work, could be books, could even be family. We must often be reminded that God comes first, and anything that comes in between you and your relationship with God is idolatry. Sometimes we exercise other things and not godliness, and though it may profit, it profits just a little. When there are other things we could exercise that would profit more. I invite you tonight, don't major on exercising things that will profit little. Why is that? Because it does not contribute to your godliness, and godliness will benefit you all the way around. You can see the fruit of godliness. You can enjoy the fruit. When God is pleased, rewards will follow this change of lifestyle. Activities are fine in and of itself, but being proficient at them will not benefit you spiritually. And you cannot take those things to heaven with you anyway. You'll not get crowns. I don't know if anybody in here plays golf. I don't know. But you'll not get crowns for exercising your golf game or marksmanship or craftsmanship, whatever it is. Now, obviously, we can use our abilities for God. And I'm not saying that we can't. I'm saying things to better ourselves that replace our walk with God will not last. And I believe the primary portrait the verse is trying to portray is that exercising things in our life outside of godliness profits little and in some cases is downright unprofitable. But the exercising of godliness is profitable unto all things. When you think of the word exercise, it means in a general sense to move, to exert, to cause, to act in any manner, as to exercise the body or the hands, to exercise the mind, the powers of the mind, the reason or judgment. So I could go around the room tonight and point to those who have special skill sets. If you play an instrument, to me, you have a special skill set. If you can go into the kitchen and cook, you have a special skill set. If you can clean something and you can clean it well, you have a special skill set. And I'm sure some of you might say, that is crazy. Well, have you seen some people clean? Have you tasted some people's food? If you can cook a good meal, that's a skill set. If you can clean, that's a skill set. That we could go around the room tonight with skills. Again, the instruments. And sometimes people just have a certain skill. We could call it a gift from the Lord. They're just good communicators. They're good at dealing with people. They're good at talking with people, good at encouraging people. I mean, we could just go all the way around the room to the different skill sets. And people have those skill sets because they've exercised them. So what I'm trying to say tonight is if you want to be better at something, you got to do it more. If you want to be better at driving, then drive more. We're working at Evan. He's got his license test coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And if he's going to get better at driving, what's he got to do? He's got to drive more. He's got to drive more. He's doing pretty good, but he needs to drive more. He's got to do it more. Whatever your skill set, if it's teaching or preaching, then teach or preach more. I don't think I've arrived in any way, shape, or form when it comes to teaching and preaching, but I can tell you, I believe I'm better off than my first one. Better off than my first message. And it wasn't until I started preaching week in and week out. And I tell you what, I will never forget. I will never forget as long as I live. Caesarea Baptist Church voting on me to be their pastor. Because that's where I learned it all. That's where I got the experience at. Who knows? Who knows? Y'all might not have voted me in 2018. I don't know. I just know y'all did in 24? 24? I just know y'all did in 24. I don't know what y'all have done in 2018, but Caesarea Baptist Church voted on me in 2018. And that's where I learned. But if it's teaching or preaching, then to get better at it, you got to do it. If it's singing, then sing more. If you want to be better at prayer, you got to exercise prayer. You got to pray more. If it's Bible reading, then read your Bible more. If it's giving sacrificially, then give sacrificially more. If it's faith, then practice stepping out of the boat and trusting God more, exercising faith. Commit to faith promise. If you've not, to put your faith into motion, to practice faith. If you want to be more godly, then your amount of godliness that you have right now needs to be exercised. If you want to attend church more, then attend more. If you exercise staying at home from church, don't be surprised when you do. I was thinking of this analogy because I remember in the Marines. There'd be Marines, they'd be in the gym. And they're pointing to somewhere and they would say, there's a muscle group right here that I want to see. I don't see it right now, but I want to see it. And then they start targeting that muscle group every week, 2-3 times a week, targeting that muscle group because they want to see that muscle. They want to see one pop. They saw it from somewhere, I don't know, or done the research, saw it on somebody or something, I don't know, but they want that muscle right there. But you know what? No bodybuilder goes to the gym and looks in the mirror and says, where did that muscle come from? He knows where it came from. He's been targeting that muscle group for many hours, looking for it. It did not just pop out of nowhere. And we like to do that at times, get all surprised when something in our life that is wrong surfaces. Don't be surprised at yourself when what you've been exercising grows bigger and bigger. And then like a weed, it's ever before your face. If you want to be better at witnessing, then witness more. You want to be better at passing out tracts, then pass out more. And we could go on and on tonight in the do more or do less categories of our life if we were to itemize it. But we've got to get back to exercising the right things in our life. And it starts by starving the wrong things. And it starts also in not wasting time on unimportant things. And I tell you, this is something that the Lord has to highlight. Because the Lord did for me. I remember when I took the pastor there at Caesarea in 2018. It was like the moment I accepted that call, the Lord started highlighting stuff that I couldn't bring into the pastorate with me. Just because I took that position, and it's amazing, most of it I wouldn't say was wrong things, just things that wouldn't serve me best. There were things that wasn't ideal for what the Lord wanted to do with me, for what the Lord wanted to bring me, the place He wanted to bring me to. There was even, I've said it before, I believe, but there was even certain people that I quit following. Yes, I would testify. I didn't agree with everything they said, agreed with a lot of what they said, but there was people that I quit following because if they influenced me, then I influenced God's people with that stuff. So there was people I quit following, people I quit listening to, people I quit reading after. Because again, if they get to me, then I get to you. But there was things even then, the Lord saying, you know what, I'm trying to bring you here, but there are hindrances in your life. And you're going to have to get rid of them. You're going to have to set them aside. Some of them, again, some of them weren't bad. They're not something that I would get up and preach a message against at all. But the Lord just said, they're not for you. Sometimes there's going to be things in our life that are unimportant. There's going to be things that profit little. Up next to our godliness that will profit all things. If you want to be better at your relationship with the Lord, then you got to spend more time in relationship with Him. More time in walking with Him. Same thing with people. If you want to have better relationships with people, then spend more time cultivating relationships with people. Take more time for people. Care more. Love more. Be more considerate of others. You have to exercise these things. So we mentioned some a little bit this morning. There are many things that are distractions to us. I have found in my own life at times there are several things, to be honest, that at times I could throw off the top of my head quicker than Bible verses. It's amazing. I think the devil even knows what he's doing with music. I could hear a song for the first time in the store. And at night when I'm trying to go to sleep, recite half of it. And I only heard it one time. The devil knows what he's doing. There's a science to it. It's amazing how it is. I ain't going into all this tonight, but there is a science to it. They want you on the hook within the first few seconds. there's money in keeping you there and not changing the radio station, not hitting next on whatever it is. First few seconds, they want you. But it's amazing. There have been times in my life, something can come out of my mouth quicker than the Bible verses. Some of you might could say the same thing. Maybe at the least you know your job very well. Maybe some of us would know our line of work better than we do the Word. We might know the ins and outs of our job, but maybe not very much Scripture. You might know the lyrics to a bunch of songs, but not a bunch of Scripture. Or maybe movie titles that you know. There was a friend of mine growing up. He was a walking movie quoter. I'll just call him that. He was a walking movie quoter. He could spit lines from movies. After some, I would have to be like, man, you need to come back to the real world because I don't know all that. You're talking to me in movie lines. I don't know all that. Or sports statistics. Or whatever hobby you may have. I remember at a time when I could tell you just about anything about sports, and not just my team, all teams. Why? Because sports is what I exercised. I watched it all the time. I knew sports. There was a time in my life I knew more about sports than I did God. Why? Because I was not exercising the things of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't care for it when I don't know a Bible verse when it would be applicable in my life or in the life of someone else. And it's sad when you have Christians that can teach someone many things. To teach them to golf or shoot gun or play sports, add, subtract, read and write, but can't teach them how to have a relationship with Christ. Can't lead someone to Christ. Why? You have exercised the things of this world to the point that you can teach others those things. But you've not exercised your godliness to the point where you can teach others. Hebrews 5:12, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. I invite you tonight to learn God. Walk with Him in such a way that you're able to teach others. I invite you to mature to the point that you can train others. Isn't it sad that at times we can train others in many things? But ladies can't train younger ladies. Men can't train the young men in the paths of righteousness. As it was already alluded to, if you want to be better at Bible reading, read your Bible more. If you want to be better at praying, pray more. If you want to serve God better, then serve God more. If you want to be better at surrender, then surrender more. If you want to be a better overall Christian, if you want to be more Christ-like, if you want to be more godly, then you have to exercise godliness. And you do that by exercising the things that would make one godly. Spending time in the Word and cultivating that walk with the Lord. Spending time in prayer. It's often been said, the Word, when we open it up, that's when the Lord speaks to us. We speak to the Lord in prayer. Also, surrendering to what the Word says. You can go to the Word all day long and read everything it's got to say, but if you don't apply it to your life, you're not godly. You just know about God. And I've said the illustration many a times. I could spend all day reading everything I could about LeBron James. And I just throw that name out there. I could spend all day studying up on everything I could about him and feel like, on the surface, I knew him. Know what he liked to wear, know where he lives, his address is online, what he likes to eat, you can read that. He's followed everywhere. And somebody wants to tell you all of it. So it's out there, and I could feel like I know him real well. But not know him personally. There's a lot of people out there that follow God. They follow him. Kind of like somebody follows somebody on social media. They follow him. They know just about all there is to know about him, but don't know him personally. I ask you tonight, what are you exercising? We'll be a godly church from the last row to the pulpit here at Emmanuel Baptist when we all collectively exercise godliness. If you're here and you're doing what you can to exercise godliness, I commend you for that. Ask God to keep you where you need to be. Because it's easy for us to start slacking. It's easy. It's easy for us to take a day off. It is. It's easy. It's easy to get behind. It's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get distracted. And then before we know it, we've not exercised godliness for the day. Tragically, if we're not careful, one day equals two. And then three, and we've not exercised godliness all week. And it happens. I can't tell you the times. I cannot tell you the times. I've skipped sessions. Skipped training. A time when I should have been exercising godliness, I wasn't. Because we can all become sidetracked and begin to exercise other things. And that's the important thing, because don't get lost in the fact like we don't exercise. Because we do. Just depends on what you're exercising. Because we all exercise. And you know about what dominates your life. What's the dominating theme in your life? That's what you exercise in the most. But I invite you tonight to exercise godliness. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." You know, much of the fruit at times of godliness, we won't see this side of eternity, but faith keeps us exercising our godliness, knowing that one day our faith will be sight. There are many more rewards. Probably, I dare say more rewards on the other side of eternity than this one, and although I feel like we're real blessed right now. I feel like we're real blessed right now, but right now I ain't got nothing on the rewards that's coming in eternity. But we think about that at the end of verse 8, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So there will be profit in the life that now is and then also of that which is to come by exercising godliness.